Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Reality Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Belvin on GQ Palace Radio. It's better, baby. It's better, baby.
You know I love you, right? Nobody got what you got. Yeah, chair built from the concrete, baby. You don't get no better than this.
GQ Palace, GQ Palace.
But we've always had some good times. And through it all, you held me down. Baby,
Cheeky Palace, Cheeky Palace.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right,
you stayed around.
Cheeky Palace, Radio, Cheeky Palace.
Take the lead. Hey, what's going on? This is KL Belvin. Welcome to Reality and Relationships. We are back on the air, so it must be Thursday night. I am one of your hosts, KL Belvin. My lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, should be on. I just heard her and the baby. Hey, what's going on? And we have a new special guest host, KL Belvin, who will be chiming in throughout the show. Depends on when she want to show you that her lungs is working, because she just likes to yell to make sure. she's been testing out her lungs, so she kind of just lets out yells for no reason. Ain't nothing wrong. Ain't in no pain, but just decides she's going to let the world know she's
just
here.
Yell.
She just yells for no reason. So tell them why you're angry, son. Tell them why you're angry. But anyway, I want to welcome everybody to listening. I'm glad you tuned in. If you're listening from the computer to GQ Palace, then want to thank you. And if you've tuned in from your phone, 646-200-3838, we appreciate that too. What you should be doing right now is making sure you contact a friend and tell them to jump on in and come on and listen to us. Tonight, we're going to do things a little bit different tonight. Tonight is Listener Appreciation Night. Tiff and I are going to do what we do, but we're opening it up to anyone listening who wants to give a call. And, you know, you shout us out. But if you have a topic that you want to talk about that connected to relationships now, I don't want to talk politics and we'll talk religion, but it's got to be connected to relationships. Call in tonight, 646-200-3838. Call in tonight. Introduce yourself. Just tell us what your thought or your concern or your question is. And we'll deal with that. Or as we're going through the subjects that we're dealing with, if you want to jump in and add to that or have something to say about it, by all means. Tonight, it is about the listeners. But like I said, Tiff and I are going to do what we do. Introduce yourselves, honey.
Hey, this is Tiffany Braxton Selvin, and I'm the other co-host of Reality and Relationship. And you know, honey, I'm actually happy to be back on the air.
I'm trying to say, it's been a little while.
It's been some time. And we've had a lot going on in our life, and I'm kind of great to be back on, of course, with you, and get back to our antics.
And
so
a lot going on in the world, too, man. Actually,
definitely.
I have been working. I mean, school ended June, of course, and so I'm on what they say vacation, but it is really not vacation. It's more like now's my time to grind with my books. I take this time to try to hit as many locations as possible, get as many books out. I had a set number of books that I wanted to sell for this summer. I'm beneath that right now, but I got to pick up the pace. I just came from Delaware. I was in Dover, Delaware, had an event there. I'm getting ready to hit the road again tomorrow. We'll talk about that later on. Did a few other things. Full Figure Fashion Week. I was at a panel there with Shonda Freeman. And what's the title of her book? I have it here somewhere. There it is. It is the, hold on a second. This is the Pro Man Guide for the Modern Woman. And she's actually pretty cool. She was good people. And I enjoyed being part of the panel. It was kind of funny. I thought I did my thing. But at the end of the day, everybody lined up for another author. I was like, whoa. You're not going to buy no books, huh?
You know people always are lined up for the celebrity. For those who don't know who Shonda Freeman is, she is the former wife of Fat Man Scoop, the hype man on the radio. He's the hype man on a lot of the club records. So she and her husband, actually, they had a relationship show on TV for some time until they separated. I believe they're divorced now. But people are always going to line up for the celebrities, so you can't even be mad at that.
Yeah, without question. And you know, the crazy part is, I can't lie, it drives me crazy a little bit, because sometimes when you do your thing, when somebody invites you to be a part of something, you want to make sure that you put your best foot forward. You want to make sure that you give them everything that they asked you to be. And I felt like I hammered home all of the things that I was supposed to do. I felt like I had control of the room. I felt like I made sure that I had command of the English language. I made sure that my points were on point, that they were poignant, that they were right where people could, and I got the people nodding in agreement. I was like, yes. And then when it came at the end, when it was like, okay, they're gonna come over and shake my hand, tell me I did a good job, buy a book or two, crickets.
Don't worry, your day will come.
I saw a tumbleweed roll by.
Your day will come, baby. One day people will be lined up for you too.
I was like, what the? I was like, what is going on? I was like, come on, man. But you know what? I ain't going to lie. If I sat here and said, I didn't feel some type of way, I'd be lying, but what got me past all that was the woman that worked for one of the magazines came over, and she was showing me her, she has like a little system, and in her system, she rates the different quotes that she hears, 1, 2, 3, and 4, as she's trying to put together what's going to be the final article that she's writing for this particular presentation. She said, "You see all these number ones?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Those are all your quotes." She said, "I felt that you had some outstanding quotes, and there was one that I wish I could have recorded because I had asked you during the thing, but I couldn't remember, and you couldn't remember." And I told her that I have like a form of OCD, and I definitely have ADD, that when I'm doing what I do, if you stop me and ask me what did I just say, I might not be able to remember because it's actually like a whole different zone. So when I made my quote, she was like, "Wow," but I couldn't give it to her again. I was like, "You got to get that when I give it to you." But she did say she was going to feature me in her magazine, and she said she was going to get back in touch. Haven't heard from her since, mind you, but I did appreciate it. And another woman from another magazine came over and complimented me and said that she was going to run something on me. So listen, I have come to learn over the years that you can't judge an event the day of. You got to wait months, weeks, sometimes years later. You could get a call a year later and someone says, "I was at Full Figure Fashion, whatever, with you. Would you come here and speak?" And then they pay you money. Well, that money is connected to that event. So you then say, well, that event was prosperous. And it was. Also, Gwen DeVoe, who was the CEO and the person that put everything together, she was in the crowd. I looked over at her a couple of times, and she nodded her head a few times, and I knew what that nod meant. That's why I invited you, Big Dog. That's why I wanted you here on this panel, because she knew I was hitting home with a lot of the things that I was saying. And honestly, I'm going to do what I do. And if I don't sell any books, I did sell a couple, that's good, because really, my goal is simple as it's going to sound and as mediocre as it's going to sound. If I sell just one book, then I feel I made a difference in the life of this one person who took away with one book. And I sold 3 books. So I felt I did what I was supposed to. Now, would I have liked to sell more? Of course. But then also someone pointed out to me, Shonda Freeman is a designer. This is a fashion week going on. So right. A lot of the women in the audience were models or women that have fashion aspirations. So, of course, they're going to line up for the designer because they're also possibly looking for opportunities to model, to work, to network, whatever. So once I heard that, I said, you know what, I'm good because I'm okay with me. So that was one of the things. And, you know, I got other trips coming up. I got books to sell. And I don't know. I went on an interview in another state. It went very well. They were supposed to call back today. I did not hear from them. I'm not stressing that either because I have a plan B. And I'm always on the move.
We have
something.
A plan B.
Well, yes, we do have a plan B, but you know, you just ask me why.
No.
You did not hit the applause on that. Don't get her head more swollen than it is. Yes, we have a plan B. And actually, it's funny that no sooner did we talk about Plan B that some information came through the mail, which made us have to change the direction and the thinking that we were going in. And it might have been a blessing that we weren't even counting on. So to anybody listening, understand that you may go out in a direction and have all the positive intentions in the direction that you're going in, and it may be nothing compared to what God actually wants you to do or the direction that he wants you to go in. So sometimes catch yourself. Don't let yourself get frustrated. Don't let yourself get down when things don't exactly work the way that you planned it, because God's plan may not line up at all with what you were thinking, and where you end up may not even be a place that you even put on the map. And I say that because one of the things that was presented to Tiff and I was a location that we didn't even consider. She don't even know how they got her information, but here's an offer that we have to consider. And we have to make some moves that we know will benefit us, but it's going to be very difficult to make. But we're going to do what we got to do. So that is what's been going on with me. And we'll definitely discuss some more later on. What's been going on with you, darling?
Well, as most of our listeners may know, because, you know, KL and I, we stay on social media. I lost my grandmother last month. And I was dealing with that. And, of course, if you've tuned in before, you know that I also lost my mother back in September. And KL lost his grandmother back in last July. So it was something to deal with. You know, my grandmother and I, unfortunately, we did not have the best adult relationship. And I stress the indicator of adult because when I was a child growing up, it was very good. I used to visit my grandmother's house all the time, and I used to stay summers with her. But as I got older and more life experiences, unfortunately, we did not have the best adult relationship. But I was grateful, actually, the week before she passed. She was in a nursing home. She passed in a nursing home. The week before she passed, I was able to take little KL, baby KL, to see her for the first time.
You want to take a big KL.
Anyway.
I'm not speaking rude badly today, but go ahead.
So the thing was, my grandmother, you know, I had spoke to her on the phone, and initially when KL was first born, she's not able to really get out the house. I explained to my grandmother, unfortunately, until KL was able to get her vaccinations and, you know, everything to make sure she had the thumbs up from the doctor as far as her health was concerned before I start taking her out to other people's homes and, you know, things like that. So I was waiting for her to get her vaccination to take her to my grandmother's house. And then my grandmother went into the nursing home, but the week before my grandmother passed, I was able to take KL to see my grandmother, and she was very happy about that. And I actually have a picture of my grandmother holding her, which is something I'm grateful for, too. What are you laughing about?
I'm sorry. Thinking about that picture. You know exactly what I'm...
Anyway,
all right, let me let y'all in.
We're going to ignore KL because we don't want to know.
I got to let him in.
No.
I got to let him in.
Come on,
I got to let him in. I'm laughing. Come on. That's not right.
Can I finish?
I'll come back to it later.
Thank you. Anyway, I was able to get a picture of them together, and unfortunately, it will be the only picture of them together because she passed the following Wednesday. I went to go see her the Wednesday before, and then she passed, actually the Tuesday before, and then she passed the following Wednesday. So I had to, of course, deal with that. And coming up, I would say, after KL and I get our own apartment together, I now have to go to my grandmother's house where my mother was living before she passed and now clear out the entire house of my mom's and my grandmother's belongings. So it's going to be difficult, but I have, you know, quite a few friends that are willing to help, but it's a monumental task. And I'm just going to take one day at a time and do what I have to do. But it's funny because in dealing with my mother's passing, my grandmother's passing, I realized that people have no class. Do you realize that? People have...
True. Oh, no class, as well as people just... I think we spoke about the church we were on before, but yeah, just the way people act at... I wasn't at the wake, but the way people act at a repast. When someone is providing you food, when someone is providing, you know, sustenance and something to drink, okay, it may not be a five-star meal, but the fact that someone went out their way to prepare quality food, it's not like somebody just threw you together, whatever.
They threw some slop on a plate.
Yeah, we took our time to make sure that we offered everyone something to eat. And then it's bad enough that people don't show up, which I get angry about because if you don't prepare enough food, and too many people show
complain.
Up and talk about it. And then when not enough people show up, they act or forget that they know that there's a repast. They know that they're expecting to come. So they act as if you didn't lay out money for that. And then the people that come, you sit around like, ugh, what is this? It's chicken. And don't act like you ain't never had chicken. That would be real racial for the next 30 seconds.
And it wasn't
you
fried chicken.
You know black people eat chicken. They know it's
but
baked
you know
chicken,
what?
Something
it
healthy.
Wasn't,
That's
it wasn't
why
fried
their face
chicken.
Turned up.
We didn't have fried chicken. We were health conscious.
Dipping in grease, they would have ate it anyway. But we had baked chicken. We had chicken and broccoli. You had two different rices. You had I'm missing one. What am I missing? Oh, the lo mein.
Mm-hmm.
So the Asian restaurant, and I hate to say Chinese because we don't know if they're Chinese, but the Asian restaurant that we went to, Tiff and I eat there on a regular. The food is of a high quality. That's why they charge a little bit more. But it's actually very well done. That was the reason why we decided to have them cater it, because it fit our pocket. It fit our budget. We actually made sure that there was enough food that you could have took some home. So I don't care if you give it to the homeless. Take something when you see us left with all this food here. People were sitting, especially older folks, were sitting with their faces turned up because we had water. Okay, we didn't put stirred Kool-Aid with sugar and soda and everything pot. We gave you water. As if, and you would have thought people was, like, we offered them mud to drink. And sometimes with our own, the way, and I say our own, I mean people of color dealing with other people of color, it is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like tap water. We had bottles of water that we purchased and we made available for people to drink. You know what I think? I don't know if they were expecting a spread, a variety of soda. And the thing is, KL drinks soda. I drink it if it's here, maybe a cup here or there, but I'm not a soda drinker. And, you know, I'll be honest, when it comes to stuff like this, I don't really extend myself to that extent to say, okay, let me get soda because this person might drink orange, this person might drink Pepsi. This might, no. I'm going to make it very simple because with the amount of food that we had left over, I can't even imagine the amount of soda we would have had left over.
Yeah.
And
we had
I wouldn't have
drank
it.
You had so much.
I wouldn't have drank it, and I definitely wouldn't have allowed KL to drink it.
I would have tried to.
You would have tried, but I wouldn't have allowed you to drink that much soda. So I'm glad that we did only get water because we had a lot of water left over.
And that was actually excellent because I think I drank every bottle of the water because I've been working out. But well, that's another thing, too. I forgot. I'll talk about that, too, but go ahead.
But it's just, you know, certain things that people do, people say. Like, you know, I had a few people ask me, what are you going to do with your grandmother's house? And I had to explain that, you know, my grandmother...
You're already
actually,
calling for stuff?
Right. My grandmother actually already... She owned the house with someone. So, to me, that's his house. I said, I'm not in a mindset where I feel this is my grandmother's house. No, she owned the house with somebody. That's his house. I have a place to live. That's, you know, none of my concern. And it's funny because the gentleman that my grandmother owned the house with, he told me the very next day after my grandmother passed away, people were already calling to ask for stuff in the house. And he had to tell them, listen, you're not going to get anything until her granddaughter gets what she wants out of the house. And if there's anything left, then you could come get it. But the idea that you would actually call to ask him when you know she has living relatives, it's just... To me, it's just so,
Well, you know, it's crazy because when you were cleaning up and you told me that you found a TV that was missing from your mom's room downstairs
in
the closet, it let you know how shady people were because the grandmother had no legs and couldn't walk.
So
she didn't hide.
Get upstairs. Right.
She couldn't get upstairs and she couldn't have hid the television in the room. So somebody had hid the television where they knew the grandmother couldn't get to it and then basically, you know, was trying to make their way back to get it. And that's another thing, too, that's suspect with certain folks is that when you see how certain people are and you go, wow, so you just have plans to try to just rip the whole joint off. But you know what?
Right.
For me, and I told Tiff this before, I dealt with this with the passing of my uncle years ago when I was a teenager. I remember I had just come from seeing my uncle, and then a couple weeks later, my uncle passed. Now, my understanding was I was in his will, and my uncle had an outstanding pension because he had put in time at the factory that he worked at. Plus, he was a school bus driver, and he had a pension come from that. So he had dual pension. So he had a lot of money come. Plus, he had the house and other things. And he had lost a son with his wife at birth, and I was the namesake of that child. And so the understanding from the family was pretty much everything that was his was mine. When I went down there for the wake, my grandmother had We were sitting in the house and getting dressed. She said, don't eat anything, don't drink anything, and just stay close to me. And I'm thinking, aren't we going to a wake? I can't eat, I can't drink anything when they're having, and this is family. And she was like, no, because people are going to want money, people are going to want things. And I said, well, why would they harm me? She said, my understanding, everything's in your name. And then they had the funeral. And it turns out that the young lady that he had was dating or whatever right before he passed pretty much had everything altered to put into her name, and she was the girlfriend. She wasn't even the wife. But in his older age and, you know, in love, he switched everything over. Now, I'm not upset about what I lost because I'd rather have my uncle back. But when so many people thought it was in my name, it literally got down to if we just off him, then it's whatever. And I'm talking about cousins. I'm talking about other family members that you hadn't seen in a while. And I didn't want any of it. And the house is still there. I didn't care about any of that because, to me, if that's what it's come down to, then you hold that. Now that I'm a grown man, I understand why people do the things they do. But having dealt with 3 deaths in less than a year, I believe it is, right? Yeah, less than a year.
Yeah, it was less than a year.
Because my grandmother was July, and then your grandmother was in
my
mother June.
Was September.
So in September, mm-hmm. Exactly. So dealing with 3 deaths in less than a year and seeing how people act, it's just ridiculous. Seeing how family turns on each other because of death, and then just seeing how people react over what they believe are large sums of money. In the end, yes, the sums of money can be large. But is it really worth all this going back and forth? But I can tell you, when I see how people just acted for the amounts of money that Tiff and I were dealing with, it made me start to think about how some of these corporate guys, what they have to do. Because now you're talking about millions, multi-million. So I definitely understand why
imagine.
Cash is getting slung off the roof or taken out back and just done in. So
I can't
I
imagine.
Anybody, please.
And it's funny that you mentioned that because something I found really important, and it's so funny because I went to go get my hair done today and I had a long conversation with a woman in the salon about insurance policies and, you know, different things like that. One of the things that really I'm grateful for with my mom and I'm grateful for with my grandmother is that there was no financial burden, because sometimes funerals can be something else when it comes to expense and trying to see what you're going to do and how you're going to take care of all the responsibilities. And thankfully, my mother had some money in, you know, her accounts that we were able to use when she passed. And then my grandmother actually had a pre-plan for her funeral. And I don't want to say it was completely paid in full because it wasn't. But it was a significant amount that it took care of all of her final arrangements. And, I'm starting to look into that for myself, for KL. Just things need to be in place. And I thought about it. From the moment we're born, we're dying. We know it's inevitable. It's going to happen. And it's something that I think everyone should consider, is having a pre-planned arrangement. And it doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be ridiculously expensive. But at least your family knows that if something happens, then they can take care of you without having to borrow money, without having to beg people to help. And, you know, it's just certain things that I think as adults in society, we work every day, we should just have in place. So pre-planned...
Okay. Tiff always makes people feel so sad.
I'm not trying to make people feel sad. I just think it's something that people should consider.
It's just a constant on this show. When Tiff gets to talk to you, you're going to be like, you know what, I'm going to off myself.
No, Tiff makes people think. This is reality in relationships.
Well, actually, if you have insurance, first of all, let's be real. I used to sell insurance. If folks of color would just invest in insurance so you have adequate protection, you wouldn't have to worry about all those things because
True.
It would be all taken care of. And term policies are not expensive. It's about 15 cents per $1,000 of insurance. The only thing is it's for a period of time. That's what term means. So if you get it for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, at the end of 20 years, that's it. If you didn't die,
right,
then that's it. If you get whole life, it's just like I said, whole life. And when I used to have to go into people's homes and to explain to them what insurance was, they would bug out. Oh, why do I need this? I'm like, because we have all been to funerals where people can't afford it. I said, so this actually takes care of that. Or if the husband or the wife is soon departed, it replaces their income so the family can continue to live. Nothing worse than someone passed and now the family has to alter their lives, move,
they
whatever, because
the house.
They can't take it inside. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So insurance takes care of that. And there's no reason why you should not have at least term insurance in place to take care of yourself and to protect yourself. You want your kids to go to college. You know what? That bump might be the best way for them to get in college. I said to Tiff the day her mom passed, I said, what I'm about to say to you is going to sound very cruel, but in her passing, she may do more for KL than she could have done while she was alive. And I said, just let it play out. And in the end, that's exactly what happened. So sometimes you got to pay attention to the tea leaves, and often you may have to create your tea leaves and then read them. So anybody listening, if your portfolio, and when I say portfolio, the investments that you put your money in, does not include term insurance or some type of insurance, not just what's offered on the job, you are doing yourself a disservice,
mm-hmm.
a big disservice. But moving on, what else is going on? You have some other things that you're working on other than this sad subject.
Yes. Well, actually, I launched earlier this week an essay contest. It's the Northeast ABP essay contest. For those of you who know, I have competed in pageants since 2006, and I won my first national title last year in the Miss American Beauties Plus pageant. So I really adore the director, the national director, Angela Howell, of the American Beauties Plus pageant. She works very hard to do what I believe is a family-oriented event, because although the pageants are normally about the people who are competing, Angela actually incorporates the entire family. So your husband, your children, she makes it a family affair and everyone feels comfortable being there. And I enjoyed myself when I went to compete last year. I went back again earlier this year in April to crown my successor, and I actually took one of my mentees, Danelle, with me, and Danelle enjoyed herself and is even considering participating next year in the 10th annual event. So during the event this year, I mentioned to Angela that I really want to see the team division of the pageant grow. And I said to her, because usually she'll have maybe one or two participants in a team division where all the other divisions have a lot more representation. So I thought about it. I wasn't sure how I would go about doing that. But then it came to me that there are so many young ladies here in New York City who could benefit and enjoy the opportunity of participating in a pageant, because it's not just about being pretty and competing. You know, we have a network of women from all different ethnicities, from all over the country, all walks of life, doing different things within their community and even in their professional lives. And so many young ladies can benefit from that. So I reached out to Angela, and I said to her that I would like our company, Braven Publishing, to sponsor two young ladies from New York City to compete in a pageant. And basically, we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/NortheastABP. And if any young lady aged 13 to 18 years old, she has to live in New York City, and she has to attend school and also wear a dress size 10 and up, can enter the pageant, and they would need to write an essay explaining why they would like to participate, as well as giving three letters of reference. And I have a panel of judges. I'm going to be posting the information of the judges soon on that page, just to show what we have, I'm sorry, the judges that we have, who will decide what two young ladies, we're sponsoring two, will compete as and represent New York in the Miss American Beauty Plus pageant. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Cool. Cool. So, listen, to get that information again, so folks will understand exactly what's going on, where they can do everything.
Where they can get the information for the pageant is on facebook.com/NortheastABP, and all the information is there. And also, if you want more information about the pageant, you can go to AmericanBeautiesPlusPageant.com, and it will have all the rules and all the requirements in order to compete. If you're not a team, because we have seven divisions, if I'm not mistaken, that you can compete in. So from age 13 to, I believe, we had the last year, I think our winner in the classic division was in her 80s, if I'm not mistaken, such a sweet lady, Ann Doyle. And she did her thing on her cane. Her cane was blinged out, and she was so cute and so sweet. So, again, from age 13 to 80, you can compete. But for the contest, it's 13 to 18 years old, and you have to live in New York City and attend school.
Excellent, excellent. So, Brave and Publishing, listen, this is what Tip and I do. We try to give back. We're not just talking about it. This is what we actually do. And, you know, there's another thing, too. I didn't get a chance to talk about the different things going on. We have completed book number 16 from our company, as well as we have completed book number 17, which is my book. And we're going to talk about both of those books and other things that we're doing with our company and just, you know, filling you in on what's going on since we've been away. But we're going to take a break now. It's about 8:36 p.m. We're going till 10 o'clock here on GQ Palace Radio, Reality and Relationships. So we're going to take a two-song break, and we're going to come back. We're going to fill you in. Remember, you can call in at any time. And just let us know whatever you want to talk about. The mics will be open tonight. So we will be back in two songs. This is Reality Relationship every Thursday night from 8 to 10. See you in two.
GQ Palace. GQ Palace. GQ
Palace. That's a brand name. Like Pepsi, that's a brand name. Stand behind it. I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me any more than they know the chairman of General Mills.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationship every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Velvet Velvet GQ Palace Radio. It's butter, baby.
Y'all, it's your boy Mikey D, a.k.a. Playboy Mikey D. Y'all already know what it is. Right now, you're tuned in to GQ Palace. Keep it locked and locked.
I'm in here having fun. All the women look their best. I came to have us this time. No drama, no stress. Bring ladies to one man. I like it like that. Club is jumping from the front to the back.
GQ Palace.
Yeah.
also a CEO and founder of Go Further Entertainment, and also one of the co-authors of Wordplay Through the Foundation of Soul, a Raven Publishing exclusive. Every Thursday, I tune into Reality and Relationships from 8 to 10 on GQ Talent Radio. KL and Tiff are the best for dealing with relationships.
Love the music that GQ Palace DJ always plays. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. This is KL Belvin, my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and little baby KL. There's KL getting in, doing her thing. KL Belvin doing her thing. KL Christina Belvin doing her thing. We want to welcome you back. And listen, we love what we do. Didn't get a chance to mention this earlier. I said it before the break, so I'll talk about it now. You know, Tiff mentioned what we're doing with the company in terms of supporting the young ladies to give them the opportunity and the experience to be a part of the pageant life. And that has been a staple of Raven Publishing since we started the company in 2010. To give and to do for others, sometimes and often at a loss to ourselves.
Yeah.
But we do it because we believe in the idea of helping others do what they do and to help them achieve when we've had the blessing of achieving. Sometimes it has come at a loss and it hurts, but you absorb that and you learn from each situation. So with that said, this year, and actually this month, we have two books that we completed. One is in the hands of the printer now. We're just waiting for the proof copy for it to be approved and the proof copy to be mailed back out, and that is The Forgotten 14 by Willie E. Cooper. It is a historical book, his second book with us, and it discussed 14 different soldiers that weren't given the credit that they deserved during the Civil War. He did the research, put the book together, and as I said, this is his second book with us. His first book, The Forgotten Legacy, actually talks about a whole black regiment out of North Carolina that weren't given the credit that they deserved, and he actually had a grandfather that was part of the regiment, so he decided to do the research himself. I am honored and so proud to have worked on both of these projects because it is a man of color taking things into his own hands and creating what others basically acted wasn't important. He made sure the history of his family and some other members of the armed services families would be remembered, and it is outstanding to know that we played a part in that and that the book will be available soon. I don't think we'll be selling it on our website because we'll be selling it at his, but Forgotten 14 by Willie E. Cooper. The second book, which is book number 17, is my book, Lukewarm Saint by K.L. Belvin. I am excited. It is book number 3 for me. It is my first foray into fictional writing. I've wrote some fictional stuff, but this is actually the first time I'm doing a full book. And I decided to stick with something that I knew, an educator torn between loving the women and something inside him saying that he shouldn't get down like that. He has his mother and grandmother in one ear. He has his boys in each ear. And in the end, some things happened and some decisions had to be made. You're going to have to check the book out to see what actually happened. And this was my opportunity to lay down some fictional work, celebrate the Lord in some ways with my work. But it is definitely open to everyone. It is Christian fiction, but everyone will enjoy it. And I'm excited. It'll probably drop in October. I'm thinking of an October release. I'm just cleaning up some things on the interior now, but the cover is done. The cover is out. It's on my page, Facebook, author K.L. Belvin, to check that out. And it's just exciting. 17 books Tiff and I have been able to put together since 2010. Actually, 16 since 2010. A Man in Transition was done before 2010. And I think the thing that is great about it is we're making a difference. But I think the other side of that coin, the frustrating part, is when you're working with independent authors, independent poets, they sometimes don't have the business understanding that they should. And you're trying to explain to them that we can't sell your book and make it turn a profit because we're working with other authors, that our job is to create the book. Your job is to go out and sell your book because it's your book. And sometimes they don't do that. And we have some quality books that authors are just not going out and presenting to the world. And I feel like the catalog of work that we have is outstanding. But my hope is I'm going to keep grinding and keep pushing, that someday someone's going to say, wow, look at this catalog of work. We need to have that here. Or we need to pay for that. and they'll actually buy up the catalog, and I can get that into the hands of more people. Also, you know, we had some passings, man. Walter D. Myers passed, because I think the last time we were on, Sister
Maya Angelou.
Dr. Maya Angelou passed. Mm-hmm. Someone else passed since Maya Angelou. Ruby D. had passed. That's
Ruby
what we had mentioned.
D. Right. Mm-hmm.
Ruby D. had passed. But Walter D. Myers passed, and I'm a little upset because, not that I'm comparing him to Maya Angelou, but Walter Dean Myers has written a slew of books centered on middle school and high school readers. His books are a staple in the curriculum of the New York City Department of Education, which means throughout the city, pretty much every school has a Walter Dean Myers book. I believe it's something like 27 titles, but I don't know how many books in total this man has written. And his passing came in and went like a mist. No one said anything, no celebration. And people of color, it frustrates me.
Most people of color did not know who Walter D. Myers was. So
yeah, that's true. I mentioned it to a few people, and they were like, who? You know, it's sad when such talents are faded in out of existence, and no one says anything, no one knows anything. And you know, I got a problem with that, because we already complain about what's being pushed on our kids, the ratchetness that's out there, and people are absorbing it like it's food. Tell them, KL, is absorbing it like it's food. And then when a brother or sisters is out there putting quality work, it's like you're selling poison, and people avoid it like the plague. And it's so frustrating. This man has made some incredible books, and you know what? It's just sad that a light went out.
According to his biography, because I just pulled it up, he's written over 100 books, and his books were actually children related. So
exactly.
it was young adult literature. So to me, more people should have an idea of who he was and, you know, the legacy that he left. It just, to me...
And this
just,
is a man of color.
Mm-hmm.
It's a man of color. This is not some guy perpetrating to try to get the black awareness and he's not connected. This is a man of color with 100-plus books. Do you understand what it takes to write one book? I am telling you, as a man that has written 3 and been a part of 5 other books, it is not easy. So when you can sit down and write 100 books in a lifetime, man, how old was he when he passed?
He was 76.
Tell him, KL. I don't know if they can understand that, KL. Let mommy tell him.
He was 76.
76. Okay. Now let's be realistic. He had to start writing or publishing. Let's give him a good age. Let's say 12. Let's say 13. Let's say he published his first work at 13. I don't actually know if that's true. Okay, that's 63 years. That's almost an average of 2 books a year for the rest of his life. Do you understand, if you're listening to me right now, do you understand if we give him age 13 that he published his first book? Let's give him age 13. Just said he passed at 76. That is 63 years. The man wrote over 100 books. That's an average of close to about a book and a half a year. A year. That's every year sitting down and giving something, coming up with an idea, getting it published, getting it packaged, getting it out there. Exactly, KL. Please chime in when you tell them how you feel, darling.
Just
KL
to let understand. You know, just to let you know, he published his first book in 1969.
So 1969, that's 43. Actually, I'm 46. That's 44 years ago.
That would have made him 22 years old.
Okay, so 22 years old, 76, that's 54. Okay, so in 54 years, that man averaged almost 2 books a year. So still the same average, 2 books
mm-hmm.
a year. 2 books a year for his whole life. Tell him, KL, she understand. She's like, I'm just trying to grow some teeth, and Cass is writing books. So, I mean, what Tiff and I do with our company is to try to present those opportunities to authors. And the sad part is, even though the information is on our website, even though we explain what we do, people want to come and say, can you do for me? No, I will work with you. And then when you're sufficient, I will step away and let you work for yourself. If I sell you fish, you are beholden to me.
You know what I find?
If I teach you how to fish, you're respectful of me, and you love me for it. Not love me because I love you because you now can do for you.
What I find, a few people have reached out to me to say they have a story that they want to turn into a book. They haven't written it. They haven't sat down to type it out or anything. And they have asked me, can you write the story for me? And I said, unfortunately, I can't. Unfortunately, I don't have the funds.
Ghostwriting is $10,000.
And the thing, that's what I was saying. I explained to people, for someone to sit with you and write your story, you're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars.
Ghostwriting is $10,000 starting. You're not going to get not if you're trying to write a real book. A ghostwriter is going to charge you a ridiculous amount of money. And ghostwriting, that's why you see entertainers and athletes and politicians with ghostwriters, because they can afford to pay them the $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 needed, because most of them have signed deals where part of their advance is to go ahead and have someone write it for them. That's why it'll say so-and-so along with or as told to whatever. But the average independent person that Tiff and I work with, no, we're not doing your work for you. But that's what they want. Tell them, KL, you ain't doing the work either. And so the idea is, you know, we put all the information on the website. Our prices are on the website. We let folks know that we will work with you. And if you compare our prices to what other companies are charging you, you're not paying as much. Plus, you're not getting the direct service. Tip and I only take on... I'm sorry, KL. Tiff, KL, and I only take on a couple of projects a year. KL was like, don't leave me out. So she had to yell and scream. I ain't mad at you. We only take on a couple of projects a year because we want to be able to give the clients the services that they deserve. And, you know, we started taking on 5, 6, 7 projects. We believe the quality of work would go down because we don't have a staff. It is Tiff and myself. And actually, most of the time, it's me. Because Tiff has relieved herself from some duties because she's like, I just ain't going to do it. And so I have to make sure that I outsource different things to different people. And so that requires money. And it requires upfront money because I can't tell somebody, well, do this for me and I'll pay you as soon as I get the money from them. Come on, man. You can't give nobody the okey-doke. So
no,
I got to pay people at least. I got to pay people at least a down payment to begin with. So let me tell you something. And what does all this have to do with relationships? These are business relationships. These are the way that people have to do business with each other. We got to get away from that, man. We got to start getting more knowledgeable about the things that are important and leave some of this ratchetness alone. I cannot even watch television anymore. I just watch the movies and that's it because of the ratchetness that is on. It is just ridiculous. Hey, you know what? I was just thinking, can I bring up what I watched last night? I watched Black Church Inc. It's a documentary on the Black Church. I was so disappointed. I was thinking, okay, new documentary on the Black Church. Maybe I'm going to learn something I don't already know. We already got a civil war going on in the Black community with the Black Church. I was like, okay, I'm ready. Man, they beat me in the head for $15. I didn't learn nothing that I didn't already know. That some pastors steal, some pastors don't. People in the Black Church give because they believe that they have to without understanding why they give. And mega pastors don't have to pay taxes, so there's no accountability. And so some say there's nothing wrong with having the Bentley and the Learjet, and some are like, how could you have all that when your parishioners are starving? I didn't learn nothing new. But the one thing I did take away from it is that your focus on your faith, if it's not personal, you done lost your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're waiting on someone else to help you define what works for you, you better reference things for yourself first. Get a working understanding of the faith that you say you claim, then go out and search for clarity. Go out and search for understanding. Right, KL? Search for understanding of what you just read. And there's actually scripture that speaks to it. But unfortunately, the black church, as I looked in this documentary, in which I've already known, has placed itself in front of God and said, you can't get to God until you come through us.
Uh-huh.
And many folks are not making it through. They're actually getting turned around and frustrated, and they walk back out the door, and they gave up on God when actually they should have gave up on that church.
Right.
And I was a little frustrated in what I saw because it really didn't teach me anything, and I couldn't see if somebody who had no idea of what was going on in the black church would have got from it. I think they would have just watched it and came away with, see, I told you the black church is stealing. And it's not necessarily, oh, tell them, KL. Tell them you're serious about that. But honestly, the couple of pastors that they did have speaking and the psychologists and a couple of educated men, they made some valid points. But when you can't have honest diatribe, when you can't have honest dialogue where, okay, the pastors who were speaking and the educational men that were speaking, if they can't now hear from those that are being accused and you're just showing me old footage, well, it's footage I've seen. I don't want to see old footage of Creflo Dollar saying, I'm not going to turn over my books to investigations. The IRS knows we're doing what we're supposed to do. And then the guy says, well, because the laws say they don't have to turn them over. Okay, so would you prove to me that he's right? He doesn't have to turn them over? And you
right.
couldn't explain to me why you needed a Learjet. And his reasoning, and I thought it was funny, when the guy did ask him a question in an interview, he said, why do you need a Learjet? This cat said, because the commercial airlines don't fly to the places that I'm going, and so my schedule requires me to be there. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. Now, I'm not the smartest man on the planet.
Where's he going if they don't fly?
Hold on a second. I am a very intelligent man. I'm not stupid. My dude, you going to tell me that commercial airlines don't land you in the vicinity and you can't take a cab, limo, whatever, to where you're going? So how do athletes, entertainers, and everybody else get around the world and perform and do all the things that they do without private jets? This cat tried to sell folks watching that I need a private jet to get to where I'm going. You know what? I need a diamond ring because I'd like to wipe my behind with diamonds on.
But you
Come
know
on,
what?
Man.
That's to me. That's disgusting to even think. I try to see if I had like tons of money, just living this way. I honestly wouldn't want a private jet, honestly, because I like to interact with people. So I don't know. That's just me.
That was the other part that you just hit on. The other part of the thing, it said, but with mega churches, you can't interact with the parishioners. So how are you actually doing the Lord's work when the Lord interacted with people? And they actually said that many of the pastors lean on a phrase where thou shalt not touch thy anointed. So they actually say they don't want the people in the church to even touch them.
What?
Because they are God's anointed. So
are
they
you
actually
serious?
Surround themselves. Yes, they actually surround themselves with people
with a Bible scripture?
who prevent other people from touching the pastor because they say the Lord ordained it for them not to be touched. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Maybe I feel I'm very intelligent. Didn't Jesus go out amongst the people? And
yes,
didn't
he
people
did.
Touch him?
They touched
him. Wasn't
feet.
It a woman that touched
they
him?
They touched his clothes. They washed
exactly.
his feet.
Exactly. And a woman touched him, and he said, who touched me? And he turned to the woman and said, did you touch me? Because he wanted to see if she owned up to it. And she said, yes. And then he freed her from the bondage of bleeding and the negative that she had going on. So how do we now get to the point? Peter and Paul healed different people. They casted out demons. You can't do all that from the back of the car. You can't.
Wow.
I said, yo.
That's insane.
These guys actually said they should not be touched. And actually, the guys, the educated guys, and the other pastors spoke on it. Now, I'm going to give one website, and I'm not one to promote anybody's website, but I am actually on his Facebook page, pimppreacher.com. Pimppreacher.com. He was one of the brothers that spoke, the brother Nike. I'm sorry for forgetting his name. He actually goes around the country and exposes pastors who are misappropriating funds and not doing the things they're supposed to do in church. He exposed a pastor in New Orleans, a pastor that he was cool with, by the way, who gave a developer $2 million up front to complete a job. And he said, who gives the final payment before the work is done? And then they showed you where the church was supposed to be and how nothing had been completed. Materials was just laying around, and now they were $2 million short, and they're actually having church in the basement of a school.
Wow.
Because the pastor gave somebody else $2 million, and then they basically did a coup. They came in and took the church over and said, you've already been voted out by the parishioners. You got to go. So the church staff was trying to hold on. They actually got into like a little scuffle, and then the guy said, well, what you see is that we ran the pastor out. This is who we put in place. We took over the church. And I said, so this is what we're doing now? We got to run coups. We got to come up with coups inside the church to take pastors
out.
So
what happened to the developer with the $2 million?
Okay, the same thing that happened with that church that was sitting there not done.
Wow.
So that's if you got about an hour and change, it ain't the worst. Watch, but I didn't enjoy it because, like I said, I didn't learn anything new. But pimppreacher.com, I would definitely check out because I have been to his site, and he does ask a lot of questions. And, yes, there's some healing that's needed within the African-American church. And it's kind of sad where we've gotten to because the amounts of money that is flowing. Like one guy made a comment. He said if mega churches were doing what they were supposed to, then why in some of these economically downtrodden areas they're not doing better with the millions of dollars that's flowing through certain churches? And I think he had mentioned Atlanta because they were talking about New Birth, where Pastor Eddie Long was at. He's like, if the money was actually coming back into the communities, they wouldn't be doing as bad, but unfortunately they're going into the church. Listen, I can't argue how the church is using money. I don't have that access. But one thing I do know, the guy made a comment that if the church just kept 10%, and gave 90% of what they had back to all the people around them, so many places would benefit. And that I could agree with. But like I said, I don't know because legally churches do not have to file tax forms, and they do not have to be accountable for what comes in. So basically,
they only have to be accountable to their parishioners if their parishioners even question it. So,
yes, if they demand. Yes, they do. And that's it. And the IRS is okay with this, and you know it's crazy, but hey, it wasn't the worst watch. I just didn't enjoy it. So, but moving on. We're not going to go to any break. Let's just go to one of the things that we were talking about in the news is these babies being left in the car.
Actually, not just the babies being left in a car, but the death of babies and children in general, either due to neglect or abuse. We have a lot of stories in the news of people accidentally killing their children and even intentionally killing their children.
Yeah, but how do you accidentally forget you have a child? Now, anybody listening, and I've seen this posted on Facebook too and have actually indulged this conversation, I can hear KL while I'm talking. But if I'm somewhere and I know Tip is not with me and I know I had KL, I am not going to get so tied up in anything that I'm doing that I forget that I had a child with me. And how are you going to be in a car on a summer's day? And I don't care if you're getting out to go to the bank, to pee, the ATM, or whatever. Okay, yes, people run to the ATM, run back to the car. Not that I agree with it, not that I accept that, but I understand it. But when you're talking about children who have been left all afternoon, you didn't remember that you had a child? Really? You expect somebody to believe that? You so absent-minded that your child sat there for hours? Just like you know, everybody was crying about the woman that left her kids in the car when she went on a job interview. And she got arrested, and then I guess they tried to compare it to some other mother or something. First of all, one case has nothing to do with the other. I don't care. I don't care if this is the job opportunity of a lifetime, and you cart those kids in with you and say, look, if you're going to hire me, you're going to have to deal with these kids anyway. You don't leave them unattended because you got a job. You laughing. I'm dead serious. If it mean that much to you, if that job was the all-time end-all or be-all jobs, you take those damn kids with you and you say, listen, I don't care if you got to grab somebody and say, I know you don't know me. Please just watch them because this interview mean that much to me. You know what? There might be somebody that, like, I'll sit there and watch them for you.
What I believe, and I mentioned this some time ago on Facebook, when the mayor here, Mayor de Blasio, had decided to leave the schools open during the snow, and it was actually a bad decision, but he decided to leave the schools open, and so many parents complain, how could he leave the schools open? What is he thinking? It's dangerous for the kids. And I said, I didn't understand what the parents were complaining about, because it's still your duty as a parent to do what you feel is best. So if the mayor decided to open a school, it's still your duty as a parent to say, you know what, I'm not sending my child to school for safety reasons if that's what you choose to do. So to me, it's more a case of our societies have become so broken that we don't have people that we can depend on in case we need to go to work, in case we need to go on a job interview, that we can say, you know what, can you watch my child? Because today is a snow day, and I need to leave them with somebody because I don't want them to be out there going to school. Because I actually got into a debate with people online who said the schools need to be open because people don't have anything else to do with their children. That's a problem. It's a problem that we got to the point that we don't have anybody else to depend on but the government. And it makes me think of the chick that said thank you to the government for raising her children. You know, you watched the video.
Thank you, government, for putting me on. Thank you, government.
Being my children's daddy. So we can't depend.
Thank you, government.
We can't depend on our neighbors. We can't depend on the people that we see every day when we go in and out of our houses. But we can say the schools need to be open because I need some place to send my children. That's a problem. We need to be closer knitted in communities so that we can say, you know what? I remember when I was growing up, we had tons of older people who watched children. They watched everybody's children. If you knew that you had to be someplace, somebody on the fifth floor watched children. So you contact them and say, can you watch them today? I'll give you a few dollars to watch them. Here's their food, their lunch, whatever. We don't have that anymore. What happened to that? So now people are putting their kids in danger.
At risk. Yeah, I'm sorry. There's got to be, I don't care. Listen, I don't care what it is. There's another way. There's another way. And you know what? If you walk up in there and say, look, this is the reason why I need this job. Hell, it might even be impressive to the person that this person said, you know what, I'm going to bring my children anyway. Because it's got to be, it can't be my child's life or this job. I'm sorry, do you want the job that bad? Is it worth? Like, I can't see that. Like, you can't sell me on, oh, I got to go to work, so I'm going to leave KL in the car by herself. I'm going to leave KL in the house by herself. You can't even get me to leave my dog in the car by himself because I got to go to school. Why would I do that to him? Why would I leave a child in a position where they could be dead over whatever? I'm sorry. And this dude here, they say that he, I don't know, they're still arguing about whatever. Bruh, if you love your child that much, you went to work and had your child strapped in all day. They said got to 120 degrees.
You're talking about the father in Georgia, and I was reading about that case where he left his, I think he was 22 months old, he was almost two, in the car when he went to work. Now, the story with that is pretty fishy because, one, they said he didn't live that far from where he worked, okay? That's one. So basically, you went from the house, you put your child in the car, you got to the parking lot of your job. The daycare is building that he works in. Okay, you forgot your child, you went into work, you started working, you forgot your child. You forgot that you didn't take your child out the car to put them in the daycare that of the building you work in. Okay, that's crazy in itself. But then on top of that, they found out during the day, during his lunch break, he went to the car to put something in the car.
Nah, you go to jail at that point. You go to jail at that point. So you didn't hit it. You didn't see the child passed out. You didn't smell the child. No, you go to jail at that point.
So
Please don't let me be on that jury.
He put something in the car during his lunch break and went back to work. Now, the crazy
thing is,
it gets even worse. He gets in his car after work, which means not only did you forget to take the child to the daycare that's in the building you work in, but you also forgot to pick the child up from the daycare in the building you worked in? Okay.
Now, you know what? You know what? Let me be on that jury. I will be inside that jury room. If any one of you vote him not guilty, I'll beat you senseless.
But then he leaves the parking lot of his job, and they say he drives some ways down the road, and he stops into a mall area when he supposedly realized his child was in the back seat, and then takes the child out and attempts to perform CPR. You're kidding me, right?
No,
so when you initially got in the car, you had to drive some ways to realize that your child was in the... And I said to KL, okay, we now have a baby. I'm not perfect. I have done some crazy stuff. KL has done some crazy stuff in her short little 4 months. But the idea is, if I don't have my child, I know that KL has my child. And if KL doesn't have her, he knows that I have her. There's no way that I would forget that one of us is supposed to have her when we have her. It just doesn't make sense to me. How do you forget that you have your child in your possession?
Yeah, you know you left your child. You know you packed up. You know you got her together. You know you got him together. And that little boy, listen, I'm all for just drop him off at the hospital. Drop him off at the fire department. Drop him off at the church. Or I don't know what the rules are in other states, because I know here in New York, if you just at that point that you can't take care of the child, you may leave them at the hospital. What is it, the hospital?
Hospital, fire department, police
department,
station.
Yeah, anywhere.
Or
yeah,
school.
Or school. I'm like, just do what you got to do. Just like the woman that at the train. Yeah. Train
she
stops,
she
rolls the carriage off the
platform.
Train and get back on the train. First of all, who watches that and doesn't whoop the ladies behind?
Thank you.
I'm sorry. If I see you with a child and you wheel your child off, come on, man.
And that's the thing. With her, I read about her case also. Now, with her, and, you know, so I'm going to talk about that, too, if we have time, with postpartum depression. With that woman, I understand somewhat that she was not in her right mental state. And from what her family explained, her father mentioned that, and for those who are not familiar with the topic, a woman was on a train here in New York. She rolled the baby onto the subway platform when the doors opened. She got back on the train and left the baby on the platform. And they were looking for her for a couple of days. They found her. When I read the background story about the mother, the father said when the woman was 2 months pregnant, she watched her daughter's father killed. She actually, at 2 months pregnant, was hiding under the bed when intruders came to the house and killed the daughter's father, and they said she hadn't been right ever since. So I don't know if she's gotten...
Let me explain something. I'll teach you like my grandmother said. I'll teach you not right in the head. I guarantee this behind whipping caused you to see you not right in the head.
You can make jokes, honey, but we also have to be realistic that postpartum depression is very real. And unfortunately, all of us are not as fortunate to have the health care to cover mental instability. And I say that because what I found interesting is that when I was pregnant with KL, of course, everyone knows I was 4 months pregnant when my mother passed away. And I was very determined and that I did not want to fall into a depression because, of course, it was a sad state that at 4 months pregnant, my mother's not here. And I have to deal with that, deal with being pregnant for the first time and, you know, carrying a life, but also deal with life in general. And I found it interesting that, of course, KL and I have health coverage through his employment, that when I had to go to the doctor or hospital a few times, one of the questions that they asked is, have you or are you suffering from depression? And I explained to the nurse, I said, I'm not suffering from depression, but I have had instances of being depressed. And I explained to her why. And she said, well, that makes sense. You know, your mother just passed away, and that would make sense that you would feel some type of, you know, being depressed. And she said, well, if at any time you feel it's overwhelming, please let us know. Because they have, you know, people that I can talk to and that could provide assistance. So I started thinking about the woman who left her daughter on the platform. If she's in a situation where she doesn't have that available to her, that she, unfortunately, and I thought about the other case, we had a case in Queens where a young lady, 22 years old, she smothered her 11-month-old to death.
And put her on Facebook, right?
And she put the baby's picture on Facebook after she had smothered him to death. And she actually had called the ambulance, too, when she did it, because I guess she had some type of remorse, but it was too late. They said he died at the hospital. But with her, she said, I believe she was also going through postpartum depression. Her son was 11 months old. She said that she was overwhelmed, and she didn't want to take care of him anymore, which is a sign of postpartum depression where you feel not just, oh, it's hard being a mother, because sometimes I feel, yeah, it's hard being a mother, but at no time does it become to the point where I feel my child would be better if she was no longer here. And you have women who go through that, and if they don't have a support, I have a great support system. I have my husband. I have my husband's family. I have friends. I have people. If I get on the phone right now, I say, I need you to come get KL because I'm going through something, would jump in their car and come get KL and do what they have to do. But other people don't
also
have this.
Let me jump in. Let me jump in also. And that's what I was about to say is that at the beginning, part of one of the things that I wanted was I stayed home. I took the time out to be here at the beginning of all this. I took time off from work so I could be here to help out. So Tiff wasn't overwhelmed. Also, our church for 4 days in a row sent food over so I wouldn't be overwhelmed with trying to make dinner for Tiff and then help him take care of it. So each level of assistance helped cut down on the stress. So it wasn't any extra normal stress. It was just, you know, the common stress we're getting used to, a baby being in the environment, making bottles, cleaning bottles, cleaning up the kitchen. I did all of that. There was not a whole lot I could do with the baby because the baby to me was so tiny, there wasn't nothing I could really do. So I gave Chip that time to bond with the baby. But what I would do is make sure the kitchen was clean, make sure there was food clean. And every now and then, if I just had to take the baby and hold the certificate, take a couple minutes, go to the bathroom, do whatever, fine. One of the things that I said to folks at work as well as church when I went was that I have a new understanding and actually a heartfelt understanding to young sisters that have to do this by themselves because I don't know how it's possible. I don't know how a young lady in her teens or her early 20s who may be struggling with some things herself, how she can take care of a baby, and Lord knows, multiple, because it's so difficult just watching Tiff trying to get around just after having the baby, how she couldn't sleep certain ways, had to lay certain ways, so I had to help out and do certain things. So my thoughts went straight out to a woman that had to do this by herself. How is that possible? So I understood where the anguish or the anger came from, because to imagine a young sister having to do this, I could understand why they may feel the only way out is just to end this. And end this baby's life so I don't have to deal with this, because When KL cries when she's hungry, you would think that someone is harming her. It is an ear-piercing scream. I mean, it is. If you were walking by the apartment, you'd be tempted to knock on the door and be like, is everything okay? Like, this child is being harmed. No, she's hungry. But she likes to exercise her lungs when she's hungry to such a degree. But if you were young and didn't have a certain internal calmness, you might be shaking the child, stuffing stuff over her face to get it quiet, because just trying to make the bottle is driving you crazy so you can get it back to the baby. Listen, we get a little frustrated when trying to get the bottle made because you hear your baby screaming at the top of the lungs, and I mean tears and everything. But the minute the bottle hits her lips, no noise.
Mm-hmm.
But that 2 minutes can seem like a lifetime when dealing with a child. And I'm sorry. For me, I have a renewed interest in trying to get young men to come back, and actually older men, just men in general, forget that, to come back and be involved in their mothers, in their baby mother's lives at the start, not after the child is born, not a year or two later. I mean, be there at the hospital and start right there. Hell, I was in the delivery room, and I still got trauma from being in the delivery room. I ain't even going to lie to you. I got trauma from watching a baby come out of there. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. So anyway, but still, I'm here and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I want to see brothers, men of all colors, but definitely men of color, start from the delivery room and put your time in. Help out, even if it's just sitting there and go, let me hold her while you sleep. Let me make you something to eat. Let me hold her while you go take a shower. Let me hold her while you go to the bathroom. First of all, the mother will probably want to hold her as much as possible because it helps with the bonding. That's fine. Then just sit there and go, babe, you want something to eat? Just sit there and watch. Change the diaper. You know, all these things help. And is it easy? No. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. I put too much formula when making a bottle one day. Almost gave my child like... KL, I apologize, KL. You ain't got to keep getting at me. I said I was sorry. I put too much formula in the bottle. But the idea is that this is the bonding that the male can do and helps you get connected with your child and get your child connected to you. But this is what has to happen because there's entirely too many. Okay, KL, exactly. That's what I thought. There's entirely too many of your brothers and sisters catching it in those first 6 months.
Yeah.
So I understand. So, what else is going on with you had something else you wanted to bring to the table, because it's almost 9:30. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And then we'll finish up the last half an hour, and we're having some fun. We didn't get no calls today. I wonder what's going on with that. But anyway, if you are listening on your computer, call in and just tell us what you think. 646-200-3838. If you're listening on your phone, then just press 1. And let the host know that you have something you want to say. Just come on, say hello, add to any of the subjects or topics that we've talked about. We'll be back in a couple of songs. I actually want to go 2 songs again. We'll be back, and then we're going to drive it home the last half an hour, and then we will end it there. So we'll be back in 2 songs. This is Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. We'll be back.
This is your girl, Shaw Love, your Brooklyn actress for Atlanta. Every Thursday, you know I'm tuning in to Reality and Relationships from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on GQ Palace Radio with the beautiful Tiffany Belvin and the always funny and blunt KL Belvin. You're my all.
GQ Palace Radio.
To reality, relationships, every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with K-Bag and Tiffany Melvin and GQ Palace Radio. It's what I made on it.
Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it.
GQ Palace Radio.
This you can dance.
can't let you go. I'm sorry. Woo, that's my joint. Welcome back. Oh, man. Welcome back to Reality Relationships. I was, oh, my gosh, two old school songs. I'm having a ball. Don't make music like that anymore. That is what is on my iPod. Let me tell you something. On my iPod is a lot of old school joints, a lot of 80s and 90s music to get me through my workouts.
I can't hear my husband anymore, so I'm not sure if we're still on the air. But this is Reality and Relationships, and we were discussing parenting. Basically, we have a lot of cases in the news of children being injured.
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Y'all can hear that? I was singing.
You're so crazy.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, darling.
I was just, when you got cut off, I was telling everyone what we were talking about as far as children in the news that are unfortunately dying and being injured at the hands of their parents. And in some cases, it's just neglect. And in other cases, it's gross negligence, which there is a big difference. One is you do something not realizing that is going to cause injury or harm to your child. The other one is when you do something realizing it and you do it anyway. And it's just amazing because the other story that I wanted to mention, which I attribute all of this to lazy parenting. And yes, the idea of this young lady in Texas, and I don't know what they were thinking, but a group of girls went to the pool, and the mother and her friend came and picked the girls up, and their swimsuits were wet, and the owner of the car, the driver, did not want the girls to wet her seat. So she told five girls to get on the roof of her car while she drove them home. One of the young ladies, she was only a mile away from the house, four of the young ladies fell off the car when the driver made a turn, and one of them hit her head, and she died from head injury. She was 12 years old.
Wait. Why did I miss this? Hold on. Because you just messed up my night, right? Hold on. A woman.
Yes.
Was picking up the kids.
Yes.
She knew she was coming to a pool.
Mm-hmm.
To pick the kids up.
Yeah.
The kids come out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Wet. Which is what the hell you do in a pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say you can't get in my car, right on the roof?
Yes.
I gotta
I'm gonna tell you the persuasion. But I want to just say one more thing, because remember I said there were two women, the driver, and then the other woman was the mother of the 12-year-old that died. So you allow someone to tell your 12-year-old child to get on a roof of the car.
No, you allowed. Stop. I don't care what she told. First of all, after the whooping that she would have got, but okay, you don't want to beat it out. Got that. My daughter and I would have been standing out on the bus stop, hitchhiking if we had to.
It was only a mile away. They could have walked home.
Could have walked, whatever. You're not going to tell me. The fact that you just said, let them get on the roof, the left and right, you would have caught for that? The left and right, you would have caught for that would have been memorable. But hold on. We got to call on the line because I'm about to spaz in a minute. Rachel, are you there, Rachel?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Hi, Rachel.
Good evening, Rachel.
Hi. First, I'd like to say congratulations on the baby. I hadn't had a chance yet to congratulate you two on the baby.
Thank you.
And welcome back on the air. It's great hearing you two.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate being back on. We've been kind of sprinkled in and out the last 6 weeks, but we're actually glad to be back on. We actually miss when we don't get a chance to be on. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. The show is going great.
How have you been?
All right. Can't complain. Because if I do, no one wants to hear it or listen anyway.
I'm going to tell you something. I was in the dentist's office, and I said that, and a woman said, well, you know, who's going to listen anyway? And you know what? I have a logic about that. I say complain anyway because it may fall on sympathetic ears. You never know.
Exactly.
So I say complain anyway because somebody may hear that and go, you know what? Let me try to offer some help here. But what's your thoughts on what we're talking about tonight? Because I'm still going to spaz on this woman that let someone dictate where their child should be and then their child died, but, you know,
your child, you dictate. You had that child.
Thank you.
You birthed that child.
Thank you.
Dictate. You don't let anyone else dictate where, when, whatsoever for anything.
Thank you. First of all, who's going to let someone else why would you put your child on the roof of a car?
Exactly. For what?
I don't care if you're driving 10 miles an hour. Who's going to put their child on the roof of a car and think that that's acceptable because the child is wet coming from a pool?
No.
Who does that?
I've had the kids wet in my brand new car coming out of the pool, and I refuse. No, you don't do anything like that. You don't think in your right mind. Even in your own mind, you don't think of doing something like that.
You know what? And the sad part is that the fact that a child died, but just the idea that an adult thought that that was okay. And then the sad part is the adult who said, get up there. See, the fact that you would have asked, the minute you say, well, why don't you let him ride up on the roof? I beat you so badly that when the police come, I'm not gonna fight. No, there's no tasers needed. I will get in the car. And then when we get to the court, I will say, this is why I beat them. This is what they said to do with my child. And if people in the courtroom is okay with that, come on.
I can't even imagine someone being serious. Like, if someone said to me, let KL ride on the roof, I would think they were joking. I would not have been taking that seriously.
You don't even come out of your mouth with anything like that.
Thank you. And that's what I'm talking about, is the idea that you would mention that, the idea that you would say that, and then the fact that a child actually is harmed. I got a problem with the amount of children who have been hurt, damaged, or destroyed in this last year or so by just plain negligence or just idiotic behavior. And it's scary to me because I don't see it getting any better. Because the reasoning behind what a lot of these children are being harmed didn't make sense to begin with. So I don't even know if the courts know what to do with these individuals. Because there's just been some stupid things that I've seen, from the children being left in the car to children just being harmed in ways that doesn't make any sense. We watched a video where the mother, or it looks like the mother, is videotaping the cat basically attacking her child. And I'm like, this is a form of child abuse.
Yes.
Why are folks okay with this? Like, this, the cat, and I said to Tiff, if the cat is a big breed of cat, which it looked like it was, it's young, so young cats bite. That's what they do. But he's not biting hard, but he bites because they nip. They're not biting to try to hurt you, but it's a baby. So any type of nip is going to hurt the baby. The baby is crying. The cat is nipping at the baby's hands, nipping at the baby's feet, and the child is crying. So the baby does what a baby does. It slaps the hell out the cat. Well, the cat jumped up and scratched him in the face, and he fell off the bed.
These people.
Yeah. Yes. And the mother was the person videoing was giggling. That's funny. This is abuse to the animal, abuse to the child. Who finds this funny? We saw another video where the little dog had climbed up behind the baby because the baby was standing up, and he's humping the pamper. And the people are falling out thinking this is laughing. How do you allow a dog to simulate sex on your child and find this cute? And then put the video on social network. You know, it's, say what you want about religion. Say what you want about anything. But the idea is there's something going on here. But Rachel, tell us your thoughts, because you know me, I'm ranting and raving. I'm hot tonight. I'm angry tonight. What's been going on with you, love?
I am not a violent person at all. However, Lord help me. If I were to see someone abusing a child the way that I hear these stories about the child on the roof, leaving a kid in the car, letting an animal do whatever mm-hmm. to a child, I think I would have to, somebody would have to hold me back from intervening.
Amen.
I really would want to jump, literally jump on this negligent parent.
Yep. Yeah. I'm that same way. I don't see how folks can sit back. Tiff and I are like that. We see certain things. I want to say something. We don't care how you react to it. I'm a big dude, so I'm not really worried about you whooping my behind. But Tiff will say something. I will say something. We call the police. Do something.
Right.
I don't see how people can sit back and watch. Just like I said to Tiff earlier about the woman that pushed the child off at the station and then the train closed and takes off. If I'm sitting there and I see that, how you don't grab the woman, how you don't make sure at the very next, I hit the emergency brake.
Absolutely.
Y'all not letting this woman off the train. This woman just pushed a baby, that, you know, something. And if I get in trouble, then fine, I get in trouble. But somebody has to do something. I don't care. You wait until they pull into the station, pull the emergency brake. Train ain't going nowhere. They got to at least come down and find out why this brake was pulled. And then right there, officer, that woman just pushed the baby out of that last stop.
Mm-hmm. And there were people on the train. People watched her push the baby off the train. And that was my question. How did they not do anything? Because it took a couple of days to even find a woman, which means you allowed her to do that and then just walk off.
Walk off the train, exactly.
She should have been caught that same day. She should have been caught that same day. Why are these people having their mouths closed? Why aren't they speaking up? Why aren't they, like you said, pulling the stop, pulling the brakes? Having the same stop, yelling, screaming, hollering, jumping themselves, you know?
People are scared. People are scared because, you know, you do see when you intervene that violence happens. But sometimes you just got to take that beat. If somebody's going to beat you for what you know is right, that's just one time when I get to heaven, Lord, you said if I do it right, because I'm here. They got me. But I couldn't let that rock. And I'm going to take my chances that the Lord sees it and I'm good money, because certain things you just can't let happen. Well, Rachel, listen, we got another caller on, and I want to say thank you so much for calling in. We're going to be here, so definitely make sure you tell folks to tune in and everything else. What you want to share with the people before you go, love?
I would like to let the people know I am a host on Wednesday, Love Fantasy with
there
the
you
squad.
Go. There you go.
On Wednesdays from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays, call in and share your stories, your love life. We do Diva Mail. We have a great time. We play slow jams, R&B. We have a ball. So on that note, I'm signing off. Wonderful show tonight. Love you guys.
Thank you, Rachel.
Have a nice night. Same station. Same phone number, the Diva Squad, on Wednesday night, 8 to 10. Make sure you check them out. Thank you so much, Rachel.
You're welcome. Good night.
All right.
Good night.
We have Q on the line. Q?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Is that
doing?
Brother Q?
Hey,
Brother
Q,
what's going on, sir?
Man, life is fair. Life is fair. I must apologize in advance because this is going to hurt a little bit. I must apologize in advance because this is going to hurt a little bit.
Go right ahead, brother.
I blame you. I blame Tiff. I blame you guys because you guys, along with me, we've made it so easy for the coward now. We've made it so easy for the person with excuses. We've voted or not voted to make sure that they're stronger. So what we have now is, when you look at Terry Crews when he went on The View and how he got insulted, when you look at the father who whooped his kid for doing the inappropriate thing, how he got locked up, when you look at those type of scenarios, There's no reason to ask why it's happening. What's happening is anything that has to do with weakness is being protected. Anything that has to do with a warrior code or a code of ethics, even for women who have code of ethics for their children. You know what I'm saying? So the sloppy person, they're being protected. The person who wants to live off the government, they're being glorified. Matter of fact, look at Kardashian. The porn star is being glorified. You got ladies who are on TV loving hip hop. Instead of turning that into instead of doing what Snooki did and go to your local club and get paid $5,000 a night, the black person wants to say, hey, let's take this TV fame and let's just do a free sex tape and devalue ourselves. So it's no wonder what's going on. What we do is we vote to hurt each other. Let me show you an example. If you look at the person who brings you your plate at the dinner table at your favorite restaurant, that person makes less than $3 an hour. You know why?
That's true.
Because back in 84, 86, we was jealous of that person and how much money they was making. So we passed a law just for them, nobody else, that they can only make, they got to make below minimum wage.
Which is disgusting.
Well, respectfully, Tim, it can't be too disgusting. We voted for it. We didn't stop it.
Yeah.
So here's another thing.
Like anything else, folks voted and don't know what they voted for. They go and just pull a handle because it's what they're told to do.
Right. And therein lies the problem, how I'm relating it to the baby and all this type of stuff. Accountability is excused. Everybody's excused
definitely
now.
So it all used the time to be, that no one is accountable anymore.
Right. Now, that father who left that kid, he gonna catch it. Ain't no way around it. He gonna catch it. So ladies, this is my remedy, and I'm not lady hating. I'm just saying for what it is. Ladies are getting more and more power. Ladies are gonna have to start speaking to ladies about their conduct. If not, you're gonna see more and more of it. Teacher molestation at an all time high. Slap on the wrist.
Christians. Yeah, and you know the same part. Yeah.
Christians in church. All time high divorce. More divorces than the secular folk.
Yeah.
Let's keep that 100. I even had a speaking engagement a year ago where I said, because we were speaking about dating in the church, and I said, a woman will turn to God and say, well, God, you didn't meant for me to have nobody.
Exactly. Or that God is their man, and so they don't want no man, and then complain
God
that they're by themselves.
Right. And God is like,
diabetes is running rampant in the church, too. It's poor health.
Hey, and God will say, then God will say, I sent you 50 people last month. You said it wasn't this, it wasn't that. You shot that to the left.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Here's my last point on that. Look at Boaz, and I think I said this on this show before. Boaz wouldn't be respected in 2014. He's a business owner. He got his own thing. He too arrogant. On top of that, he too old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They forget that. You're right. You know what? You're right. And we talked about that before, but that's a subtle piece, Q, that's being removed is the experience that comes with maturity, because it's not looked upon favorable in way things are packaged right now to the America dichotomy right now. And you are 100% right, because when you look at ratchet television and you look at the things that are being sold, the person that wants to practice abstinence is considered kooky or quirky or crazy. So you don't want to look like that person. And everything that seems to be out of control, sexually, whatever, is favored and actually you benefit from, to where that seems like the only way to make it, to where you don't even see educated folks being honored in any of these shows, and nothing that's on that as that top billing is anybody of any type of moral standing or educational standing. And that cannot be by accident. And it cannot be without some type of backlash, but right now the backlash hasn't come. So I actually agree with your original point that it might be our fault. There's not enough of us.
Well, look, not anymore. Because look, I'm about to blow Tiff mine. I'm going to ask Tiff a question. Tiff,
yeah.
So in 2014, Your man is a big guy. I'm 5'11". Haven't you noticed the sisters are getting our size and the men are getting petite?
Yes, I have. I have.
How do you feel about that, Tiff? What do you think about for the children who got to marry into this stuff?
You're right. And, you know, it's interesting that you said that because when I worked at the nursing home, one of the young ladies there, she's about 25, I said to her and another young lady that I'm glad that I do not have to date in this time because I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't because the men don't know if they're men or women, and they don't know if they want to be with men or women. And, you know, I don't want to have to deal with that. So I'm thankful that I do have my husband.
And they can't protect you. And they
right.
can't protect you. These little
protect
things.
You.
Listen, you know cute, but you know, hold on, you know what's cute? Because it's almost 10 o'clock. Man, you got to call in earlier next week, man, because I love when you call in because you take the show to another level. And I love it. We're going to have to get ready to stop right here. But I tell you what, brother, you always have an open invitation to come in. Please call next week so we can catch up and talk because, like I said, I'd like to, you know what, that's something that we can look at is the role reversals and even just the physicality of things. I would like to try to get into that more. So we're going to make a note. Please call in and bring that up, and let's talk about that next week of how those roles have changed, why those roles have changed, and is there any possibility of the roles actually turning back to what were more traditional roles? I don't think it's actually possible in today's society, but let's talk about that next week if you don't mind, brother. Please call in next week early so we'll have time to get into that.
All right, take care, you guys, and hopefully we will interview a petite brother and a big sister and
well, actually, I'm going to try to find a couple that will come on and actually talk about it. That's going to be my mission for this week. But definitely do that. Q, thank you so much. Rachel and Q, everyone. And let me tell you something. Q, I always love when Q calls in because, yes, he might be offensive to someone, but not if you're actually open-minded and listening to where he's coming from. He's not bashing women. He's actually trying to save the focus of the way things are. He's actually an aid to this show because we're dealing with relationships, and what he is actually talking about is the essence and the heart of where some relationships are being destroyed, and we need to consider where this brother comes from with his query each time he calls in, and we need to be able to discuss that further. As this show comes to an end, I know it's almost 10 o'clock, I want to simply say I love it when we're on the air, and I appreciate the opportunity to do what we do, because it gives us an opportunity to present our thoughts and our views, and it is the platform that we really enjoy. So I want to say to everyone listening, thank you. If you're listening to this show in our archives later on, again, please share the information with others so GQ Palace can get those numbers. It helps GQ Palace do what they do. So I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much, baby doll.
Well, I just wanted to say, usually when we have these shows and we talk about different topics, I like to drive it home with providing statistics so that people understand the severity of what we're talking about. And I didn't get the chance to mention it during the show, but just to give you an idea that according to statistics, this year alone, 17 children have died in hot cars, heat-related in hot cars. So that means that there are too many parents that are still leaving their children in cars, and they shouldn't. Another statistic that I learned was as far as neglect and abuse in general, that we have an average of 4 children a day who die from neglect and abuse.
Wow.
And
wow.
That's 4 too many. 4 children a day. So we really need to do better as parents. We need to do better as observers. Like we said with the woman on the train, there's no reason why it should have taken a couple of days to find her because someone could have pressed the emergency brake immediately, stopped the train, and she would have been carted off to jail. So we just have to do better as a society to protect our children. And that's I'm very passionate about that. I was passionate about that before I had KO, so I'm definitely passionate about that, having her. It's something I believe strongly, that we need to protect our children because they can't protect themselves. So that's
we're going to continue this next week because I think where Tiff is going and what Q brought up, that differentiation of size, there's something to that. And when women are left where they can't protect themselves, there's something to that, because if people don't remember, slavery was based on the idea that your male can't protect you. And so our women turned to other sources. They actually turned to some of the slave masters for protection. And I believe that Q hit on something that we really need to discuss, and I hope that he'll go in further. And Tiff and I will definitely be prepared with some information next week. So I really hope that you tune in next week, because I think this is something that we really need to discuss, because there are a lot of things that are slowly slipping back to an age when we were actually incarcerated. And now it's not just the mental slavery. I think the physical bondage is actually being returned. So thank you again for tuning in to Reality and Relationships. I know we went over our time today, but we definitely appreciate you. And thank you and good night, baby doll.
Good night.
GQ Palace Radio, taking the world by storm. We on over 15 different websites, 65,000 listeners and still rising within 2 years, 8 different episodes, 11 different hosts. On Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m., we have UAR, Unsigned Artist Radio, where we playing nothing but the hottest pioneers and unsigned artist material never heard before. Then right after UAR from 9 to 11, we have Love, Life, and Loyalty with Ms. Deanne Lane. Then on Tuesdays, we coming at y'all with the mayor, GPS, GQ Palace Sports, from 8 to 10 p.m. as he bring you the bigger picture, doing it how he say it, hard body to body. Then on Wednesdays, we hitting y'all with Love Fantasy, with three of the hottest females on radio right now, Angie, Rachel, and T, the Diva Squad, from 7 to 9 p.m. as they discuss their grown and sexy topics and play nothing but the hottest old and new slow jams and R&B. Then on Thursdays, they're back, KL and Tiffany Belvin, Reality and Relationships, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. as they bring you that truth to the matter feedback on relationship and let you know what's going on in the world of the news today. Then we hitting y'all on Friday with Love and Entertainment with Rich Money from 6 to 9 p.m. as you get random guests for the GQ General Question, interview up-and-coming artists, and special guest appearance by some of the biggest names in the industry. That's 6 to 9 p.m. Love and Entertainment with Rich Money. Then on Sunday, you have to bless the Lord. We have Miss Lavina Polite coming at you with some of the most powerful evangelists, ministers, pastors, and elders, sending out prayers, quoting scriptures of the Bible, playing gospel music. Feel free to call in and give your testimony as well. And last but not least, from 9 to 10, we have GQ Palace Radio Crossroad Temple for Brother Timmy Scribby Hunter as he interviews the best gospel and hip-hop gospel music. All shows, one number, one link, toll free, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air, or you can stay on the line to hear the show. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/GQ Palace Radio. That's GEEQUE Palace Radio. Also, you can like us on the magazine, Facebook, www.facebook.com/GQ Palace Magazine. Like our website at www.GEEQUE002.wix.com/GQ Palace Magazine. Remember, that's GEEQUE002.wix.com/GQ Palace. Radio, we doing big things. We taking it to the next level. GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
GQ Palace Radio.